Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. Joel, I'm not sure if you were aware of something that's happened this week, but WWE announced that there's an all-women's pay-per-view in October.
I am so very conflicted on the handling of this.
Right. I mean,
I think it goes without saying, but to say it anyway, because nothing can go without saying these days.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a fantastic thing. Obviously,
right.
This is a well-earned, well-deserved, I guess.
Sure. And it makes sense going in, like, you know, continuing the trajectory of the women's division as it's been going. And so you've got that aspect of it where it's like, yes, of course, this is going to be great, fantastic. And then you've got the other side of it where WWE basically trips over themselves, like patting themselves on the back.
Well, like, so just to really quick address, like, of course, somebody had to say, well, why aren't we going to get an all-men's pay-per-view?
And then I think someone on Reddit put together a list of, what, at least 50-something?
Yes.
All male pay-per-views?
Yeah, that you could watch right now.
Yeah. So, you got them.
Yeah.
It already happened.
And then somebody had to point out that, like, Japan, not New Japan, but I think All Pro Wrestling Japan,
yeah,
had all-female pay-per-view or big event, like, in the 90s at some point. And even TNA had like an all-knockouts event in 2012 or 13, which, yes, is all well and good, but still good on WWE for doing this and making this an
for
event.
For making the we criticize WWE so many times for like taking a misstep or not taking the right step, you know, to progress whatever's going on right now. But this is the appropriate next step for the women's division as WWE continues to build and in some cases rebuild the division.
Evolution is a good name. I like it at least. It has some effect of like, oh, this is a step forward.
I wonder if they're going to play the Motorhead song.
Well, the thing is, they've already used evolution as a word a lot, so like,
yeah.
And this sounds kind of dumb, but like, it's a word that they care about, and like, they feel like they have weight against.
Yeah.
And like, when Great Balls of Fire is on the table as like,
yeah,
we're going to keep moving forward and nobody's going to come in. So like, yeah, evolution is good. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I've been going back and forth on the actual handling of this.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, I like that they're making such a big deal of it.
Sure, 100%.
I like that they mention it a lot. I like that it feels like a big new thing.
Yeah.
I do like that the entire WWE is excited about it. But it does feel weird when certain wrestlers comment on it.
Right. Like, very inorganically.
Yes.
Like, clearly this line was written for you. It's like, first off, blah, 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 women's pay-per-view, and then move on to whatever I'm here for. Like, it just, like, it felt really, like, you noticed it for the first few segments, and then it just kept going, and it felt like it was beating you over the head. I counted. Every single segment of the show had someone mentioning that pay-per-view in some fashion for the first hour and a half of the show, and interestingly enough, it stopped at Roman Reigns' backstage promo.
And that's what I want to get to, because while there are things like, so like the B-team mentioned it, and that's, they're already comical, lighthearted,
right,
you know, have a very durable reputation that can like take a beating, and we're gonna put stuff in this, and they did fine and great. Something like Braun Strowman, on the other hand, you're like, feels different.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, oh no, real stars wouldn't care about this, because that's not like the line I'm trying to hit right here.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing where, like, John Cena as a character should absolutely mention this.
Yeah.
Being a top face, being, you know, face of the company, John Cena should be very excited about this.
Maybe that's what it is. WWE secretly knows that we know that Braun Strowman is the top face of the company and Roman is a
heel. Okay, but he's not being built as a character that does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Meltzer commented specifically on, can you imagine if Stone Cold or Undertaker were a main part of the roster right now?
And having to, you know, be force-fed those kind of lines.
Right.
Yeah. It would feel out of character.
And they're either anti-corporate, you know, Stone Cold's not going to comment on anything positive that, you know, business Vince is doing. And Undertaker goes without saying.
There's not death involved, so he's not interested.
Right. But just as it's weird that Braun Strowman, you know, had to work his way around to get these lines out, it was noticeable and stuck out like a sore thumb that Roman didn't.
Right, because he's supposed to be like the locker room leader. Like, he's right. supposed to be the guy. And you would think the guy would have something to say about the pay-per-view.
And then,
but I will give, it was good to see Braun be, you know, remember, like, yeah, Alexa Bliss, me and her were a thing, kind of.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, you know, that part, like, it's like, okay, that's the organic part of...
It is.
...of that statement, you know?
But then Roman, I don't remember exactly what he said, so I can't quote it exactly, but he said something about, like, building up to this match with Bobby Lashley, and he's like, tonight is all about Roman. And I was like...
It's like, really, dude?
Did you not watch the first hour of this show?
Like, the show is very much not about Roman. Not up to this point. Like it, maybe. They're like, hey, make sure you mention this. And he was like, no. Me put over a pay-per-view that I'm not the main event of? No. Not going to do it. Roman's sad.
Just it. In the middle of all this, like... I am undecided on the best way to handle this because I do think it should be mentioned a lot. I do think...
No, it should be...
It should be mentioned by male and female wrestlers.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it should be the biggest story. I think it should be a through line through the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with Michael Cole mentioning it on his If You're Just Joining Us every time we get back from commercial.
Sure.
But
because that's Michael Cole's role, like that's his job, literally.
Right. While I'll, you know, dance around and be like, oh, did you handle this part well? Did you handle that part well? No matter what, the wrong thing that you did was have Roman say, tonight is all about Roman.
Yep. 100%.
And that just that undermines everything you're trying to build and makes him look like a dirtbag.
Yeah. The second biggest thing that he did wrong this week was try to pick a Twitter fight with Tama Tonga.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to lose those you're going to lose those battles, bud, every time. One of you is in a PG company. The other one definitely is not.
Yep.
You're not going to win that one. But speaking of, I'm all caught up on the G1.
Okay.
As of Thursday, even though there's a show in a couple hours from this, and I will instantly be behind again. And I'm going to be busy this weekend. So I'm going to be right back where I was at the beginning of this week.
Yeah, that's how the G1 works.
But I've all caught up. There's been a lot of good shows, a lot of good matches. The only thing is, like, I've watched so much wrestling.
Yeah.
Joel, I don't know if you know this, but I've been watching a lot of wrestling because of all this.
Yeah.
And, like, I wanted to sit here and be like, okay, this match was great, that match was great. It's all just melding together in my brain. Like, I'm proud that I remember that as much of Raw as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, like, so much of my memory has been deleted and, like, replaced with New Japan stuff now.
Yeah. So, curious with you seeing all of this New Japan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the point where I could name, where I realized, like, oh, I can name everybody in the, you know, Raw and SmackDown locker room.
Mm-hmm.
At some point that happened where I'm like, oh, I know them all now.
Yeah.
I know them by sight. I know them by name.
Even guys that like aren't on TV as much.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And then they're introduced one at a time or a handful at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, yeah, I know these. And NXT is like a little harder because, you know, and then not so much now, but right. like initially.
But they're bringing in so many new people.
Right.
You know, every once in a while, yeah.
And there will be times where like somebody will debut and I'm like, I don't know if they debuted already or not.
Yeah.
And especially like those, you know, brown haired tights and no yeah. shirt men.
Yeah. No, they're just flat out just dark haired, you know, dudes.
Yeah.
But, you know, with like, you know, Speedos and like, yeah, muscles.
And some good muscles.
Yeah. Like, you feel like the judge in the CM Punk case where it's just like, oh, Kane is the the muscly guy without a shirt on.
And I'm sitting
like,
there,
I don't
man,
know
like,
who that is.
And like, I'll miss a week and be like, why is Roderick Strong wrestling 3 matches tonight? Oh, they're all different people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it has that, but it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
But it is always a obstacle to overcome when somebody says, and it's, you know, somebody be like, oh, Wrestle Kingdom's an amazing thing. You should watch it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're like, but I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. Mae Young Classic, Cruiserweight
yeah.
kind of thing. You're like, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you know everybody in New Japan now?
I know everyone that's been involved with the G1.
Okay.
Because, you know, you also have the tag team stuff featuring people that aren't in the G1, but they're in New Japan.
Right.
But yeah. As definitely as far as like everybody that's in the G1, absolutely 100%.
Okay.
I mean, I get some of the first names right,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially, you know, the Japanese wrestlers, but I got last names pretty much down pack.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm getting there. But, you know, then again, watching, what, 8 shows in like the last 2 weeks, that'll do it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a lot of wrestling.
It's a lot of wrestling.
I've also been watching wrestling.
Yeah?
You know, because that's what we do.
It would be weird if you didn't. But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Something that I was
watching
really...
wrestling?
No. You'll get one. Because that reminded me of something that was really awesome that happened this week. WWE announced that there's an all-women pay-per-view in October. I don't know if you heard about that.
I actually watched, and I wanted to bring this up, I watched Slammiversary this past week.
Why?
I will tell you why.
Okay.
So, and somebody posted it on Reddit. It was like just the first 5 minutes, which is basically the video package, the intro.
Sure.
And it looked incredible.
It hooked you.
It did. It All did right. exactly what it was supposed to do. They brought back their epic voice guy from like back in 07, 08 that was doing those.
Sure.
Those promos. And just it built each match really well. It built the stakes really well of what was going on. I was like, I kind of want to watch Slammiversary.
How well done were the stakes?
It's really good.
It was overly well done.
They were, shut up. It's not funny. You're laughing at non-funny things.
It's funny. I feel like everyone will agree.
For the not the first time, because it was good once upon a time, but like, I want to watch Impact this week.
Okay.
I want to see the fallout and the continuation
okay.
of what's been going on here.
So, let's take that a step further.
Okay.
I have my resolution as far as watching all of G1.
Uh-huh.
And I know you're a busy man.
Mm-hmm.
Way busier than I am. Clearly, I have more time on my hands than you do.
Okay, yeah.
While I watch the G1... Can you subscribe to the idea of watching Impact for the rest of the time that it takes me to get through the G1?
How long is it going to take you to get through the G1?
I think it ends at like mid-August.
I mean, I will say that what they put on was a show.
Yeah.
A single show
mm-hmm.
with a lot of good wrestling in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of it was like... John Morrison's over there right now. He is Johnny Impact.
Yeah.
Over there, which, not great. He's also the self-proclaimed mayor of Slamtown. Not great.
Jesus. This is a straight-to-DVD Shaquille O'Neal movie.
We're not perfect. We're not firing on all cylinders here. But we're firing on a lot more than I would have expected Slamversary to be firing on. But it was great. And watching that, and I watched part of it Raw, part of it SmackDown. Okay. Just that's how, because I was watching it in the evenings before.
So you kind of just pieced it together, like pieced it between other stuff.
Okay. And there was just a couple of like really startling, you know, things just watching, because New Japan has such a different style. Ring of Honor has such a different style.
Yeah.
And yes, it can be compared to WWE because it's still wrestling. But there's a lot of like, oh, that's the Japanese style. That's the, you know, that's the indie style. TNA, Impact, basically is trying to be WWE.
Right.
And for all intents and purposes, they still are.
Yeah.
Like they are not pretending that they're WWE. There's not the brass, like, 2010 era where they were like, oh, some, you know, it's the Monday Night Wars again. And you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You're not even close.
But they are still being, they're still, you know, it's an American style wrestling.
Yeah.
Big show as they can handle. But there were a couple of key differences that really stood out. And one of them was it didn't zoom in and out every time somebody hit the mat.
That is a good relaxing thing about the G1.
It was such a nice thing to see. Everybody looked really impressive in the ring as a performer.
You're right.
Because I could see what was happening.
Without a shaky camera or a giant smash zoom.
And part of it was like, and there were several missed shots. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they just didn't have the right camera on the right guy at the right time.
Yeah.
And that's because they have, you know, I'm sure they have fewer cameras than what WWE's running around that ring with. They have probably half of that. And so, yeah, they're missing stuff, but I still felt like I was getting a better feel of the match as a whole.
Yeah.
I felt like the match was being better performed for me as an audience member, because I could tell what was going on.
Yeah.
The other thing that immediately struck home is that Austin Aries is their champion right now.
Yeah.
And he felt like the king of the show. He felt like the most important man on the card.
Yeah.
By his presence. By his... And it was the combination of...
Mm-hmm.
Being the champion and being present.
Yeah, okay.
And like, yes, we've complained about Brock Lesnar not being there and the Universal Championship not being there for a year and a half. And those are all valid complaints, and I felt strongly about that this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost feel like I didn't know, like, in the gut emotionally, that the impact of like I get it of how important that this thing that I knew is important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being like, oh, it took me off guard, I thought it was fine, because no, there's hours of audio content of me complaining about it.
Sure. Yeah.
But just seeing him there and being like, this is, you know, this title is important and being here defending it is important. And it wasn't as on the nose as like, I'm here and Brock's not, but just by doing that, by adding the importance of the belt, it was like, oh, that feels like a heavyweight title. And the Universal Championship just doesn't.
No.
Fighting Brock feels like a bigger deal still than fighting the champion.
Yeah.
And
like, it's so weird that a title that young has been just killed, essentially.
Yeah. There's no weight behind it.
The good thing in all this is, you know, think of all the times we've complained in the past about, like, I'm so tired of these two guys just fighting over the title and not really having, like, any sort of story beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to be happy that they're fighting over a title.
Exactly.
You know? Like, there's going to be no storyline. We're like, that belt is on the show on a consistent basis now. What a world we live in.
So, I'm not to the point where I'm like, oh, back on the TNA Impact, you know, train. Let's watch this every week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know it right now beyond this one, you know, really strong show that they pulled off. The other thing is they had, I think for the most part, if not everything, they had clean finishes.
Wow.
Just about the whole show.
Now that is very unlike TNA or Impact, yeah.
And sometimes the, you know, the heel won.
Yeah.
And that
is weird how, like, all these companies are being successful and taking and telling successful stories, and the heel just wins sometimes.
And that's fine. Again, yeah. Like, you are, theoretically, you have the best 40 to 80 or to whatever number wrestlers in the world in your roster. Each company is going to pretend that they have the best ones.
Yeah.
And that they're all within, you know, a hair's breadth of each other. The best thing WWE's done as far as a rivalry in the past, you know, 5-10 years is Sasha Banks versus Bayley in NXT.
Yeah.
Because it felt like on any given night that match could go either way.
Yeah.
When one of them won, that didn't feel like, oh, that's better than this one. That's like, oh, this could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. And they sold it so well when I think it was the Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Where one of them injured their hand and it was like, oh, that's gonna play a deciding factor that they're so close in skill level that's
gonna be the deciding factor. Yeah.
And there's nothing like that on the main roster. Like Roman Reigns is the
they want us to believe that it was like that with him and Lashley, but no one bought it. Mm. Yeah.
No, and they, it was merely a week ago where I was like, oh, that Bobby Lashley won clean. There is,
yeah, how interesting.
Like, okay, yeah. are they really putting some effort into trying to build up a main event card? Nope. Sorry, wrong.
Rome,
nope, bad.
All Roman wins that again.
And that's the thing is like, and maybe they were, but you still like his push is still a baby bird here,
yeah.
And you crushed it.
They took that baby bird and then shot and murdered it in an alley.
You threw it at the ground. And you're like, you better fly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it can't.
Yeah.
So, and that's just, I'm not going to be like, oh, it's TNA time.
Right.
You know, but Bound for Glory is not too far away and I will probably be interested in following them into this. So, I mean, more good wrestling is always a good thing.
No, yeah. Nah, it only makes, you know, the lower, like, you know, anybody under WWE, it just makes that whole pool better. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of like the rising tide raises all ships kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've got, like, there's no shortage of good wrestling these days.
Right. And, you know, so many guys that are on the roster, you know, we're getting more and more of these stories in these scenarios where somebody's doing nothing on WWE,
mm-hmm.
goes to the indies for, you know, 3-5 years, and is coming back to WWE, a big hot commodity.
Yep. Speaking of hot commodities, there are a few notes we should touch on. In the, you know, weekly CM Punk news, mm-hmm. I forgot exactly who reported it, but apparently Ringwater is very interested and have sent feelers to CM Punk about getting him at least for the Madison Square Garden show.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, the thing is like, you know, Ring of Honor is really interested in signing CM Punk. It's like, yeah, well, no
well,
duh.
Yeah, everybody
like,
is.
Yeah, like everybody is. Even the weird like $1 million people,
offer.
Yeah, offer that wasn't really a thing. So we'll see, you know.
Yeah.
And now there's a lot of talk of possibly you know, WWE trying to hire away people from New Japan and New Japan trying to hire people away from WWE now.
It
like
is
the main, like, because AJ and Nakamura's contracts are both up in a few months, I believe.
Yes.
AJ, we can all see staying in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's very happy in his position in the company right now. Nakamura, they're like, you know, we don't know because, you know, Nakamura would have a. But see, we keep thinking that Nakamura would have a more prominent position in New Japan. I'm not so sure. Like, there's a lot of, like, talent being raised up in New Japan.
I was
going to
say,
like,
yeah, New Japan is not hurting for talent right now.
No.
And especially, over if you look
granted,
at,
like,
the past year.
I have no doubt that New Japan would be very successful in highlighting Nakamura if he came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The only thing is, maybe Nakamura is happy working a lighter style in WWE. Like, it elongates his career.
Now, as soon as, you know,
and his entire family has moved to the States.
Yeah. As soon as these rumors have popped up, you know, people have immediately pulled out old interviews where Nakamura basically said, I will be back in New Japan. I'm going to WWE to improve my wrestling, to expand my, you know, repertoire, and I will be coming back. As, you know, they pointed that as, like, sure signs, here he comes. He's just leaving. He's going to say, like, that's what everybody should say when they're trying to leave a company on good terms.
Yeah, and, you know.
Especially if it's the company that helped build them into the star.
Right, and again, like, you know, he can still come back in a few years from now, too. Like,
yeah.
You know, especially in working WWE style, you know, like he said, it elongates his career. So he can go back to New Japan in a few years.
You know, weekly, you know, nut shots are much less stressful on the body than weekly full strong style matches.
Yeah. Not like 100%. But a lot of this is in response to, you know, Young Bucks and Kenny Omega's contracts are coming to an end soon. And then there's been a lot of talk coming up now with WWE being interested in Hangman Page because that dude has gotten a ton of praise and a ton of momentum during the G1, rightfully so. He's been good for a good while now.
Yeah.
But lately, it seems like everyone is noticing. So, you know, he's on a roll lately. And then you throw all that in, and also the new batch of Performance Center recruits popped up, and one of them is Marty Scurll's girlfriend.
Yep.
And, like, you know, there was a joke after a Ring of Honor show a couple nights ago where they completely broke character and were like, you know, Marty Scurll was trying to get a you sold out chant going against Cody. And Cody's like, you took lunch to your girlfriend at the Performance Center like yesterday, dude.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, okay.
It's interesting watching because WWE has become WCW. And not even, like, real WCW.
Yeah.
But they have become the, like...
Vince McMahon is, I think, as rich as Ted Turner, if not richer than Ted Turner during the WCW days.
But, like, WWE has become, in this wrestling narrative, the villainized version of WCW.
Yeah.
That is in the, you know, history painted by the winner there.
Yeah. And that's weird because WCW, they're pretty villainous themselves.
Well, like, there are so many things where WWE's like, this is how it went down. You're like, well, it's more complicated than that. And like, nope, this is how it went down because this is the documentary you made, Monday Night War.
Yeah.
But they are getting to the point where they are the bad guy from their own documentary.
Sure, yeah.
Where
all they want to do is just acquire talent so other people can't use them.
Right, and they're signing these massive checks. And then you have tons of scrappy underdogs who are like, oh, we'll make you this star. You can be, you know... There's so many guys who are being lost in the middle of WWE where you're like, you'd be the face of any other company on this planet. You look at somebody like Kevin Owens, where you're like, you could be, you know, main event, title holding, press conference giving player in any other company, or you can be in WWE and get pushed out of a porta potty.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you get a lot more money to get pushed out of a porta potty.
Sure. And speaking on that, let's look at the one of the big drawing factors that a lot of talent, like the reason a lot of talent went to WCW. You know, and let me just tell me if this sounds familiar. We're going to give you a ton of money and you don't have to wrestle all that much.
Yep.
Like, granted, with WWE, like, that only works if you've already built a giant name for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brock Lesnar. You know, you just can't, like, be a big indie guy at one company or a big guy at one company and then come over to WWE and expect that kind of treatment there. Like, you know, it's not going to happen. But... It does sound pretty familiar, though.
Yeah.
In certain aspects.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, I don't keep track of the card at every house show on a weekly basis.
Sure.
So I don't know how much Sin Cara wrestles. I don't know how much Sami Zayn wrestles.
Right.
Well,
not any right now.
I know, but like, Yeah, these guys that are not on the weekly show.
Yeah.
But sit pretty comfortably in the mid card, mm-hmm. and could be fighting for heavyweight champions at any other company in the world.
Sure. Yeah. 100%. But you know what? One thing WCW didn't do. They didn't have an all women's pay per view in October, or any month for that matter.
This also does, by the way, mean that Hell in a Cell is getting pushed up to September.
Okay, so Evolution is going to be the October.
It will be the October.
I didn't know if
they're
going to do like a just normal pay per view.
As of right now, it is being announced as the October pay per view.
Okay.
So, and they've announced 1, 2, 3, 4 matches, maybe 5 matches.
It just hit me why it's happening in October.
Susan G. Komen?
Yep.
Susan G. Komen.
Expect all the pink ribbons.
So.
Yeah.
2 steps forward, 1 step back.
That just kind of, that was a big bucket of cold water right there.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was also like, so they released the logo, and it's Evolution, cool font and everything.
Sure.
And then they released the logo with graphics, and it's front and center Ronda Rousey,
mm-hmm.
and then Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, and you're like, blonde lady, blonde white lady, blonde white lady.
Mm-hmm. We believe in diversity here in WWE.
And it's just, this is such a huge, momentous opportunity for Asuka and Sasha Banks, mm-hmm. and Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want different hair colors here.
Yeah. You're not even pushing for, like, you know, different nationalities. You just, let's get some different
hair
colors.
I mean, like, well, we should also have that.
Yes, we should.
But, like, and
good reminder that, you know, there's a McMahon in the Trump cabinet. Just saying.
Just saying.
Hot take.
Well, you have things like, is Carmella going to be the champion on the first ever WWE all-women's pay-per-view?
No, certainly they wouldn't do that.
Like, so she's got to lose it in October, right? Or in September.
By September, I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance she'll lose it to Becky, though.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Especially now that they've did the whole firing of James Ellsworth now, so now she doesn't have, you know, as much shenanigans to dive in, you know, to
yeah, know. Lean back on, rely on.
Yeah. So, maybe. Maybe Becky will win it. I don't know. So, yeah. We have a new NXT champion.
We do have a new NXT champion.
We have a Tommaso champion.
So, a couple things on that one.
Okay.
Because I just watched it.
Yep.
It is kind of a nice reminder of just how freaking good Ciampa is. As a character.
Okay.
As a wrestler, as a vile, terrible, evil thing.
Yes. My hatred for him is stopping me from agreeing with you, but I recognize your feelings, yes.
Well, it's just that he has been in this, you know, Gargano-Ciampa feud
yeah.
for a long while.
Yeah.
And while that feud is amazing and magical and should be best everything of the year, if not for stupid Okada Omega 4.
Right.
It's not just everything. It is everything falling into place,
mm-hmm.
but even if those wonderful things are falling into different places,
yeah.
they're still pretty good.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it just, you know, you have, we've had the discussions here and there about, like, you know, is there real, like, true heels in wrestling anymore, or are they just, like, you know, like the Kevin Owens, you still have a certain number of people that's going to cheer for him anytime his music pops,
right.
you know, comes off. And then you've got Tommaso Ciampa, who proves, yeah,
that,
no.
You can do it.
Yeah. You've got, like, the smarkiest of smart crowds with Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
Love them or hate them. I hate them. But, you know, they reacted
they,
that.
They boo.
Yeah.
They booed like it was 1986 and Iron Sheik had just beaten Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Like, they looked like their entire world was crumbling in front of their eyes. Like, okay, all right. Maybe, you know, kayfabe isn't completely dead.
Well, and watching it, I can't sit there and be like, oh, but I'm excited. And it's like, no, I'm mad at him too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, part of me is like, all right, you know, Champa made it. He's the champ. You know, he had a long journey here. Remember all the, like, the DIY stuff and everything. And, you know, and just the long road, all, like, a decade plus on the indie circuit and everything.
But more importantly...
But I hate that suckback. But more importantly, boo, yes.
Also, another thing that this match brought out of me is I understand the importance of finishers.
Yeah.
Finishers, a great thing. They're a vital, important part of being able to tell a match as a story. There are some times where a move just lands so perfectly, so well executed.
Yeah.
That you're like, that's got to finish this match.
Yeah.
It was, and the thing that was, Ciampa did a DDT to Aleister Black.
Looked almost like a double A brainbuster.
Yeah.
Almost.
And it just, it was so sickeningly well pulled off. Yeah. I'm like, that should end this match.
I completely agree. Cause like it'd been a couple days since I watched it, but as soon as you mentioned it, I knew exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. It was, very well placed.
It's like Okada's drop kicks.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I know the Rainmaker is his finisher.
Right. And you don't really want to win a match on a drop kick, but his drop kicks are something special.
Like,
yeah.
That feels like it should put a guy down where he can't get up again.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I'll agree with that. Also, there's rumor out now that Vince McMahon is very interested in a Andrade Cien Almas push.
Yes.
After that match he had against AJ Styles, what was it, last week, I think?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Good for him, because like I was really worried he was going to get lost in the shuffle. And if I could like rewind to like a year and a half ago and I would tell myself that I'm going to be disappointed that, you know, Cien Almas isn't getting enough camera time.
Yeah.
I would have thought I was going nuts, because like, who cares? But, yeah, no, I'm all about it.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, if we rewind back to when we went to NXT Live.
Well, sure.
And I was like, that's the new Rock.
Yeah, it was, like, right. It was, I want to say, about a month. No, it was longer than that. Like, maybe 2 months before he actually debuted on TV.
Yeah, he hadn't debuted on TV yet. He didn't have ring entrance music or a video. Just
he had
his
a different
name
and everything. Yeah.
I think it was Cien Almas.
I can't remember what it was, but it was...
It was Cien Andrade. It was something...
It was Andrade something.
It was something that, like, I did think, like, oh, he's going to need to change that name. And they didn't. And when he debuted with the same name, I was like, oh, they've ruined it. But I did, like, I went way on a limb and be like, this guy's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Like, no one was doubting that, you know, he didn't have the skills. Like, he had the skill set. He has, like... all the ability in the world, is just that character. Like, we had no idea what the character was.
No.
What he was going for. The weird, like, wardrobe change.
It was...
During, like, at the end of his entrance. Like,
It was like they felt they had wasted the Alberto Del Rio character on Del Rio.
Yeah.
And they were trying to, like, sneak repackage it onto this new guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It feels so much better now. Just.
Yeah, it really.
Manny, you put him in the right matches. You give him the right valet.
Yeah. I want to say Manny Andrade.
Okay, was what, maybe that was it.
Yeah, was what he was going by whenever we saw him. Yeah, it's adding Zelina Vega is. Like, I can't, like, exactly say why it works so much better, but it does. Like, it just, maybe the reason it didn't work was that he was by himself, and he was, like, all the pressure was on him to get himself over through promos and everything, and, you know, English is definitely not his first language.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, he's struggling with. But now with Zelina Vega, he doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
He can come in and, you know, go off in Spanish all he wants, and Zelina Vega is just going to do all the heavy lifting promo-wise.
Yeah.
You know, and it just works.
Before we wrap up, I do want to
take a moment and look at the SummerSlam card.
Okay.
It's starting to shape up. We got a few official announcements.
We sure do.
From reasonable to least reasonable. We have Becky Lynch will be facing Carmella.
Yep.
And we also have Samoa Joe will be facing AJ Styles. I am excited about that.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like ever since the Nakamura thing, AJ has kind of just been having one-offs with guys. Has not really built anybody else to chase for the title.
Yeah. But then again, like, he's only had one championship match since Nakamura.
I get that, but like, part of it is because the Nakamura thing petered out so weirdly.
Yeah, maybe.
And part of it is he has held this championship for good long while now.
Yeah, and Rusev, he just won one match, or was it like a series of matches? I don't remember.
But
And then Joe had been, you know, he's kind of off and on SmackDown every now and then.
Right.
And just popped in, and he's going to be the number one contender.
I feel like AJ hasn't had a feud with anybody. Like, he's had matches with people.
Well, hopefully that changes now with Samoa Joe.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that we get some time to actually build this feud. And then, obviously, the big SummerSlam.
Yep.
Not really news, because we all knew what it was. Yep. But, like, official locked-in announcement. Roman Reigns will obviously be facing Brock Lesnar for the title, which is stupid.
It is, but you know what? You do the countdown clock during Rollins and Ziggler. That's what you get.
These are different fans.
I don't care.
So here's my
WWE in WWE's eyes, they're all the same. You know it.
I took this out some on the Facebook thread. Mm-hmm. But what's so frustrating about this is, you know, this crowd is going to crap all over
100%.
This match.
Mm-hmm.
You know that there is no way that they can get the desired outcome of Roman Reigns holding that title to cheers.
The only way that they can save it now is to pull a WrestleMania 31 and have Braun Strowman come in and cash it in. I feel like just that is the standard, like, cash in. Like, you win Money in the Bank, you cash in at SummerSlam. Like, it's just, it's going.
It's becoming that.
Yeah, it's starting to kind of be cliche at this point.
But you also, I mean, and it doesn't have to be like I've turned it into a triple threat. Somebody could win. Like, Roman could win for, you know, 20 seconds, or Brock could win for 20 seconds, and then Strowman can come in and beat. Or I guess technically Kevin Owens can come in and beat whoever, because they are fighting over it,
but
I'm assuming Sherman's going to win. But what's frustrating about this is
how much of a train wreck would it be? Roman beats Brock cleanly after, like, taking, like, I don't know, like, six F5s. That's F30.
And then beats Strowman.
And then cleanly beats Strowman as well.
I mean,
how much of a dumpster fire
if you're gonna burn the place down, you might as well use a flamethrower.
Yeah,
like, no sense in not being efficient about it.
Yeah, no need about just using 30 matches. You can just have a flamethrower. Yeah, you're right.
But so we're getting to the point where it's more and more likely that this is going to end with some interference or something that will get the title off of Brock. Because we're assuming
but still end in a way where this jaded Brooklyn crowd is going to cheer.
Right. Which means that, and check me if I'm wrong, other than Cena in his very first match back, Brock Lesnar has not lost cleanly to a full-time wrestler.
No. Mm-mm.
Like, the only other argument,
match he lost clean was to Goldberg, not a full-time.
Yep, he lost clean to
Goldberg. I can't remember if he had lost to Undertaker when they did, like, the...
He lost to him once.
Okay.
In, like, the follow-up
stuff.
Was
it the match where Brock Lesnar, like, they laughed
at
each other?
The last match, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And he lost cleanly to Triple H.
Yeah, okay. I've put that feud out of my mind.
Yeah, the biggest waste of Brock Lesnar in the history of the business.
Eh, don't know if it's the biggest waste, but it's up there. They've come up with so many different ways to waste Brock Lesnar.
Okay, yeah.
It's astounding.
But I feel like that's the whole point that you brought him back is that's why he was the one to beat the streak. And I've defended this for years. So like, oh, somebody else should have done. I'm like, no, because then you beat the streak beater. Mm-hmm. Somebody will get that, which is a transitive property feather.
Precisely. Like, beating the streak was the thing to make the next guy. And then it went so long to where, you know, you started seeing the end of Undertaker's career. Mm-hmm. So you need to pass off that energy to someone. And then you put it onto Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar used it fantastically for a while. Yeah. Like, I think his next match was SummerSlam against Punk.
Maybe.
Either way, like, you know, he used... Or no, that next... I take that back. That next match was the 16 suplexes to Cena at SummerSlam.
Okay, That's what it was. Mm-hmm.
Like, and at that point, it was like, oh, yeah, they're really, you know, going all in for, like, the momentum behind Brock and everything. But it's petered out so much that energy has been just lost to the universe.
Well, and just... He's going to leave. He's going to leave.
He's going to leave.
He's going to walk off into the sunset.
And he's going to lose to a guy that no one's going to give a crap about.
Being essentially undefeated.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a bummer, I guess. It feels like, I mean, I don't want to look back on it and be like, wow, these like last 6 years have just been wasted. Because I think there's some really great matches in there. I'm really, you know, still technically glad he came back. But man, these past 6 years have been wasted. No ultimate outcome.
How funny would it be if UFC has gone full WWE and Daniel Cormier comes out at SummerSlam and causes shenanigans?
So I think that
I honestly feel like that's a strong possibility. Because what other UFC fighter is going to be all in for something like this other than Daniel Cormier?
Maybe.
The guy is a giant mark.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
So, do you think they had, like, a contingency for Brock to run into the UFC ring octagon if the other guy had won? Or if they were just like, well, we're going to do a WWE thing because I'm in WWE.
I think they would have, honestly, I feel like they would have been SOL if the other guy won.
Yeah, they're just banking on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the conspiracy theory of it's all fixed.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, next. He's like, yeah. So, or, you know, shocker, UFC's fixed just like everything else.
I hope not. That is some boring stuff if that is a fixed sport.
Anderson Silva was wearing a rubber leg the entire time.
All right, do you have anything else for this week?
I do have something that's made me happy this week.
All right, what is making you happy?
WWE announced that there's going to be an all-women's pay-per-view in October. Thank you! See you next week.
Please don't.
Don't see us next week?
No, don't do this next week.
Well,
this is a one-week joke.
We'll see.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Appropriate Sundays, and probably this one day in October.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, if you want to share your thoughts about that pay-per-view in October, send that all to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, one-week joke my butt.
Why on earth would you tell them to give us a 1-star review?
I don't know.
That's terrible. That's terrible advice.
We live in America.
You're bad.
Our audience can do whatever they want, Joel.
it's your turn.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're talking about. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.